Beyond the News Podcast.
This is Beyond the News Podcast. My name is Faith Dafa Joseph. Welcome. The CBN is the apex monetary authority of Nigeria and is also an independent body. At least that is what it is meant to be. And it is there to drive monetary policies of the country. This is a very crucial job and so requires utmost devotion and concentration as it is pivotal to the economy of the country. Something the Section 9 of the CBN Act aptly describes. What now happens when the CBN governor gets involved in partisan politics and chooses to run for political office while holding on to this secret office? In recent times, this was a trending conversation as regards the ethics of it, the legality of it, and the morality of it. One person brought this conversation to the fore: the current CBN governor, Godwin Emefiele. Godwin Emefiele was appointed as CBN governor in June 2014. When he took over the reins of the top financial body in the country, inflation was in the single digit of 8.2%. Exchange rate was 164 naira, as opposed to now, when in the official INE window it is 418 naira and at the parallel market is at 605 naira, a whopping 61% and 70.5% difference respectively. Also with his coming, he created multiple exchange rates in 2016, which he has since been trying to unify. He defended the Naira severally and placed several food items on the forest restriction list, preventing them from being imported with the country's dollars so as to build up the foreign reserve and to drive self-sufficiency in food production. But in this period, Nigeria has undergone two recessions. Food has gotten very expensive and unaffordable for many. And according to the MBS, food prices has recorded a 42% increase in the last 12 months alone. And now, inflation is in the double digits of 16.82%. I asked a number of experts what they can say about the superintendence of the nation's highest financial institution and the seat of the monetary policies in the country. It was quite an interesting and diverse conversation. My guests are Dr. Muda Yusuf, who is the Chief Executive Officer, Center for the Promotion of Private Enterprise, and he is also the immediate past Director General of the Lagos Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Economist and Asset Manager, Mr. Kalu Aja, is my second guest, and economist and author, Mr. Tope Fasura, rounds off the list. And we looked at the performance of the CBN governor using some key parameters. First was using the inflation metric, one of the most important duty of the CBN. And here is how Mr. Kalu Aja calls him on inflation.
The inflation numbers were released, I believe it was this week, but the story is that inflation is up. And inflation has been double digit, I believe, since Emefiele has been the governor. So if we understand that all central banks, not just the Central Bank of Nigeria, but all central banks are essentially set up to fight inflation by using monetary means, right? So we can simply say that the effects or the actions of the central bank, monetary policy, and even administrative actions have not brought down inflation. And of course, 16 is just a call. If we talk about food inflation, that is higher. I understand it's only, you can fight inflation maybe by just monetary means, but I'll give him the F because he has allowed the federal government to borrow nearly about 13 trillion via ways and means, which is just that they print funds and they're able to fund the liabilities of the federal government. That is a decision by the central bank alone. So that means he has pumped in 13 trillion into the economy that was not, should we say, budgeted for, or should we say monetized by a bond per se. So just based on that, I will really score him the worst marks on managing inflation, and I'll give him an F on that.
Next is Mr. Tope Fasura.
Inflation we have is kind of multifaceted to the extent that some of it is demand pull, some is cost push inflation. We look at the last 7-8 years, you'd see that the Nigerian economy has gone into recession twice. First one in 2016 as a result of a dip in crude oil prices on which we depend, and secondly as a result of COVID. In more recent times, as a result of COVID, it's been really tough for most economies. And so, however, what we've seen is that from a peak of about 18.9%, almost 19%, we've been seeing a downward trend. Only the last two quarters, we started to see an uptick again in inflation rates. So yes, it's been a choppy affair for the CBN under NFLA as per inflation. We haven't been in the single-digit territory in a while. However, I personally believe that our kind of economy should not be targeting inflation for now. We should be a growth economy, a double-digit growth economy. And as a result of double-digit growth, we're going to see inflation. The problem now is we are not seeing a lot of growth. We're probably hoping to grow at about 4% this year, whereas inflation is now at 16.8%, which is not too good. We should push more for growth rather than target inflation.
However, Dr. Muda didn't mean his words.
The reality of the Nigerian inflation is that it is more of a supply side problem. Challenge of insecurity is affecting food supply and therefore fueling food inflation. And of course, we have the issue of the exchange rate depreciation. And because quite a number of production processes involves importation of items, either as raw materials or equipment or whatever, and even in some cases, even finished goods. So the exchange rate situation has also contributed significantly to inflation. And unfortunately, the CBN is not doing much about the foreign exchange policy. Of course, one of the major monetary issues that has also been fueling inflation is the ways and means finances. That is the rate at which the CBN offers overdraft to the federal government. This has also been something that is worrisome. Currently, it's estimated to be over 10 trillion naira. That, of course, is also highly inflationary because it's high-powered money.
In the last MPC meeting, in what came as a shock to many, the CBN finally raised interest rates to 13% from the 11.5% that it has been. According to the statement of the CBN Governor, Gobind Emefiele, the MPC decided to shift from its cautious approach to provide incentive for foreign capital inflows and also rein in inflation. It has been at 11.5% for over 2 years. Now, will this help combat inflation? We hope so. One of the things Godwin Emefiele would be remembered for are his intervention policies in the agricultural sector, which is intended to improve food production and in turn self-sufficiency, especially through the famous Anchor Borrowers program. The CBN has disbursed 1.01 trillion naira to 4.2 million smallholder farmers since the time this program began. So, why is food still so expensive? How has he fared in that? I get Mr. Tokwe Fashua's thoughts on the intervention policies of the CBN.
As regards intervention policies, of course, CBN is in overdrive and has received a lot of blame for its interventions by people who say, well, central bank is now in the fiscal policy territory. However, it is a well-known phenomenon in economics that every time an economy suffers crisis, the monetary policy authorities tend to move into fiscal policy region. What's the option? The option is to sit down and do nothing and perhaps just be looking at inflation and interest rates only, which will not be a wise thing to do. And so you see Central Bank of Nigeria has got involved in many sectors, including agriculture, aviation, manufacturing. Recently, there was a news item that the Central Bank was appealing to some farmers that the funds that have been given to them is not national cake, please pay back. So perhaps many of the beneficiaries don't believe that they need to pay back. So that's the downside of so many interventions. However, the necessity of those interventions at the time they were made is not in question. And the role that the central bank has played basically in anchoring the economy, okay, in the last few years, perhaps single-handedly, as the fiscal policy did not kick in as it should. There's a lot we can do on the fiscal side of revenue, as well as government expenditure, so the budget, where does government want to spend on? However, what changes have we seen in fiscal policy? I don't think we've seen so much, because we're still talking about 6-7% tax to GDP. Government has not been able to increase its revenue one way or the other. There's a smorgasbord of different revenue sources which government has not been able to increase, meaning that fiscal policy did not work as much as it should. And so we can't wait to incentivize the real sector. So I'd say that the central bank has done well in intervention. However, that is a double-edged sword as well.
So now we move on to Dr. Muda and hear what he has to say about the CBN's intervention policies.
The CBN has disbursed quite a lot of funds. The quality of the intervention is also another issue. The default rate is very high. I'm talking now about all this Anchor Borrowers program and so on. Default rate is well over 60%. So that for me is an issue.
Managing the Forex as well as currency stability is also one of the key functions of the CBN. Under Governor Emefiele's tenure, the Naira has been devalued twice and we have it sliding farther and farther. Experts have long suggested the Naira be floated, the suggestion the CBN governor rejected, and he insists a managed float, which the CBN currently operates, is better for the economy. The experts also have something to say about this. First is economist and author, Mr. Tokwe Fashua.
As it pertains to currency stability, again, it's been a mixed result and it hasn't been good, largely. We have seen two, you'll probably say one major devaluation in 2016 when Naira was devalued from 199 officially to about 306 officially for official sources, and 366 for importers and exporters, 360, 366. And later on, we've seen a scenario where that 366 handle has become the investors and exporters handle, or what they call NAFEX, Nigeria Autonomous Foreign Exchange Market, has now become the key tool for foreign exchange management officially. And that is now around 418, 419. And so the CBN itself is taking rates from that market now. Ordinarily, maybe, but for politics, we oughtn't have had that official of 306 in the first place. Everybody should go to the same market. So yes, it's a political issue, a political affair, the issue of currency management. The politicians would not want to hear some things, and so the central bank must conform. I personally do not believe in devaluation. I believe that devaluation kind of works against some of our other policies, for example, deregulation of markets, okay? You cannot combine those two policies. You have to let one go. Otherwise, the economy will not grow. So I'd say that the central bank hasn't done well in terms of currency stability. We've seen a fall in currency, Nigerian currency, from $199 to $418 and about $600 in the black market as we speak. Okay. However, it must also be said that the black market trade is a thin market. Maybe about 5%, 10% of requests go in there. And central bank is able to meet most of the orders, even though a lot of improvements can be achieved in the timeliness of meeting official requests, for example, for import purposes.
Mr. Tope Fashua believes that the issue of currency stability is a political one, which the politicians might not like the decision of the CBN. But does the CBN have to conform? And we move on to Dr. Muda, who, unlike Mr. Fashua, does not believe the parallel market is just 5%.
There is very little that the CBN is able to do. It has practically exhausted all its instruments as far as monetary policy is concerned to ensure currency stability. But if you look at currency stability from the exchange rate perspective, then of course we know that we also have a very big issue, because the exchange rate stability has been very volatile. The Naira has been weakening by the day. But the worry about all of this is that the CBN has said that it doesn't reckon with the parallel market rate, which is an irony, because the operational rate in this economy today is the parallel market rate. That is the benchmark rate for many operators in the economy. So for me, it's like living in denial if the CBN is still claiming that there is stability in the foreign exchange market because the rate in the I&E window is still around 416 to 417 or 418. That, of course, is an illusion of stability. Also related to that is the issue about Forex regulation. The foreign exchange policy of the CBN is one of the biggest problems that this economy has. It's a demand management focused policy. That is why we are having all sort of rationing. We are having issues of exclusion from the foreign exchange market. We are having a lot of round tripping because the Forex regulation does not believe in the market mechanism. The exchange rate is fixed in the I&E window, essentially, and that has been creating a whole problem for the economy. It has widened the gap between the official window and the parallel market window. The gap now should be getting close to maybe 50% or more. the premium is quite huge, as against the best practice of about 5%. And to the extent that we have the persistence of this wide gap between the foreign exchange, the official rate and the parallel market rate and other rates, those abuses will continue and the economy continue to suffer for it.
What does Mr. Kalu have to say?
When the CBN governor came, we had this capital controls, which meant that the CBN restricts the amount of capital, US dollars, that is flowing out of Nigeria. They restricted that and they set up their own multiple exchange rates framework, where if you have going on a pilgrimage, you pay different from if you are exporting and all that. Now we have the import-export window. We also have the forex rates that BDCs use. So multiple rates. And those rates are not representative of the market price in the economy. They believe that if the forex cost is market driven, it will be too expensive and it will cause inflation. Fair point. But capital controls then mean that remittances do not come in, because nobody will remit money to Nigeria if they're going to get 414, right? So the CBN has even acknowledged this by asking banks to pay 5 naira extra if you do a remit back to Nigeria, right? So this is because if it's not market driven, then the market is inefficient. So for forex regulation, because of the capital controls, because of the difficulty in getting forex in Nigeria, right? And these are all basically under the ambit of the Central Bank of Nigeria. I don't think they've done a really good job there. The foreign reserves are down. Still, we do not have the forex flowing in, even though we have done technically many devaluations by opening up the import-export window. But also in terms of policy, going to ban, say, Aboki FX, and blaming them for the rise and fall of the Naira to dollar exchange rate is, to my view, was very pedestrian. Same thing with cutting down trees in Abuja to fight currency speculators, also very pedestrian. So those policy actions tell you the mindset of the central bank in fighting, or should we say, preserving the value of the Naira vis-a-vis the US dollar.
Now, another area that the CBN in Nigeria under Gordon Emefiele will be remembered for is the cryptocurrency ban. Nigeria is the largest cryptocurrency trading country in Africa and the top three in the world. The CBN placed a ban on banks having anyone doing cryptocurrency transactions on their platforms and also shut down a number of accounts. This action, however, is at variance with the Securities and Exchange Commission, who just released guidelines on digital assets as securities and provided some regulatory framework for it. Considering, of course, how other central banks in the world are also wary of cryptocurrencies and its volatility, is this the right stance? The experts weigh in again. Let's start with Mr. Tope Fashua.
Clearly, as it pertains to cryptocurrencies, the central bank has done very well in that regard. It's slowing down the advance of cryptocurrencies. For those who care to know, cryptocurrencies are out to get central banking and to get the traditional banking system and financial system as we know it. That's why it's called decentralized finance. If cryptocurrencies dominate the financial system, government has no way of getting its revenues and taxes if people decide not to pay. And that means the end of government. So the central bank has done the right thing, like every central bank in the world. Of course, they have to protect themselves as well. Of course, the promises of cryptocurrency, especially in terms of reducing the cost of transaction, is valid, but it's not everything. And some of the promises are not also being kept. Okay, it's still open to manipulation. And as we speak right now, cryptocurrencies are falling about 60% since last year across the board, not only Bitcoin. Meaning that if the central bank had opened up the economy to cryptocurrencies, perhaps by now we would be in a full-blown financial crisis. What the central bank has done is to create what they call e-Naira, which is actually the best performing, according to PwC, central bank digital currency in the world as we speak. It's experimental. Recently, central bank said you're going to be able to pay things like your DStv bills with it. You can also pay for your air ticket. The moment we're able to use e-Naira seamlessly to travel abroad as your BTA, PTA, that currency is going to take off. And CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, are the bulwark that the traditional financial system has to counter cryptocurrencies.
What is Mr. Kalu Aja's take on this?
The CBN governor is smack in here because he issued a circular to the banks and to all the financial institutions under his direct, supervisory role, that they should not open accounts for cryptos, nor should they deal in cryptos and all that. So when you consider that cryptocurrency essentially is transferring fiat, which is Naira or dollars, to digital currency, that is usually done via a bank or via a financial institution. So if you take banks away from that, you essentially hobble them. And that policy has been in place for a long time, and I think it has cut off, or should say reduced, the efficiency of digital currencies in Nigeria. So anything to do with crypto has been hampered by this CBN policy. The Securities and Exchange Commission has come out to say that they have actually issued their guidelines on cryptocurrency. So their own process is, we will regulate crypto, we will not ban crypto. The central bank has said that they will ban crypto, they would not regulate crypto. So I am more aligned with the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC position on crypto. I think we should regulate it so that we keep bad players out of it. Nigeria is a big adopter of cryptocurrencies. I think we're number one in Africa. Imagine where we would have been if we had not had the ban from CBN. So in it's a very good program and choose a policy of the central bank to increase financial inclusion and to bring many cash transactions into the formal financial sector. The only negative I can say about the eNaira is that it was done by foreigners. I still think that that would have been a good way to bring Nigerian developers to develop this eNaira, export it as a Nigerian product that was developed by the central bank funds, and it's now becoming a business. I didn't like the idea that we had to go to meet folks in Barbados to do it. I mean, it's a wallet. Anyone, we have Flutterwave, we have most of these folks around. They could have easily done this, and it would have been a big plus.
The last issue to look at on this edition of the program is at the CBN's governor's desire to run for office. A CBN governor choosing to engage in partisan politics and even going as far as trying to get a court injunction to allow him run for elected office while holding on to his position is unprecedented in Nigeria's history. Many have called for his sack, but he continues to hold on to his job.
High-class misdemeanor, the breach of trust, is a breach of oath of office. To me, the man should not be in office 1 minute after this.
I think it's high time for Mr. President, President Muhammadu Buhari, to call the central bank governor to order before our economy crumbles. If my friend Godwin Emefiele wants to run for president of Nigeria, for goodness sake, he should say so and resign and join us.
Although he has since withdrawn his suit against INEC and the AGF, and also has dropped his ambition to run for office, is this the end of the matter? What does the law say about this? The Section 9 of the CBN Act 2007 that governs the CBN states that the governor and the deputy governors shall devote the whole of their time to the service of the bank while holding office, and shall not engage in any full or part-time employment or vocation, whether remunerated or not, except such personal and charitable causes as may be determined by the board and which do not distract from their full-time duties. That's what the Act says. Let's go further and look at what the Code of Conduct Bureau and Tribunal, whose sole aim is to regulate and maintain a high standard of morality in the conduct of government business and to ensure that the actions and behaviors of public officers conform to the highest standards of public morality and accountability, has to say. Section 5 of the CCBT Act provides that a public officer shall not put himself in a position where his personal interest conflicts with his public duties and responsibilities. Section 14 of the CCBT Act also provides that a public officer shall not be a member of or belong to or take part in any society, a membership of which is incompatible with the functions or dignity of his office. In his argument to hold on to his office while vying for an elected position, Godwin Emefiele had argued that he is a public servant and not an appointee of the president. An insinuation that the new Electoral Act barring appointees from seeking office doesn't apply to him. As debatable as that is, since he was indeed appointed by the president and confirmed by the legislature, has he violated any other laws? Godwin Emefiele's tenure as CBN governor is due to expire in 2024 and is one that will definitely be remembered. A big thank you to my guests, Dr. Muda Yusuf, Mr. Tope Fashua, and Mr. Kalu Aja, for their contributions to this episode. Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the News podcast. The show was produced by Lai Glover and executive produced by Ayodele Adio. You can find this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Beyond the News podcast with Faith.